Today's message is the top priority for 2012. How many here today are excited about what the new year holds for you? How many here? It's a fresh start. It's a brand new start. It's like the beginning of a week. The beginning of this year is like the beginning of a week. It's a fresh start. And I'm here to tell you today that God has got great plans for your life this year, 2012. God is wanting you to go over and beyond where you were in 2011. Let me say it again. God is wanting you to go over and beyond where you were in 2011. And I'm here to tell you today, friend, that you're not on this earth by accident. I don't care what anybody or anything has told you in the past, in your childhood, years ago, that you were an accident. Those people were being inspired of the devil, who is a liar and the father of lies. You're not on this earth by accident. You're not a spare part in this world or in the body of Christ. You are on this earth with a God-given divine destiny, end, and purpose. And you don't have to be stuck in the same place this year, 2012, that you were in 2011. God is wanting you to go beyond. He's wanting you to go forward with your life this year. Do you agree with that today? God has got something wonderful in store for your life. It's good to be here at the shelter, but God has got more than this shelter for you. You're receiving God's word at the shelter, but God has got something more. He's got for you to live in your own apartment, your own house, to have a better mode of transportation, to have a better job, to go down a different educational path and learn some new things. Amen? And as you begin this new year, 2012, you might be wondering right now, what goals and resolutions should I set for this year? Anybody ever been there? Thinking, what goals and resolutions should I set for 2012? Who should I form relationship with? Who should my spouse be? What church should I attend? What city should I move to? You know, what outreach should I be involved with? What type of education should I reach? So you might be wondering today, what goals, what resolutions, what path do I take in 2012? That's a good question to ask, right? God, what are you wanting me to do with my life this year? Should be the question that we ask. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, and talks about Saul's conversion. Saul, whose name was later turned to Paul. So you might be wondering today, what am I to do with my life in this new year? And for the rest of this year. So, we're going to look at Acts chapter 9, and we're going to read from verse 1. It says, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem." Verse 3. "As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' he replied. 'Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.'" What you must do. Let's look at this. Saul thinks he's doing God a favor by persecuting Christians, those who belong to the way. And as he was on his way to persecute more Christians, he fell to the ground and heard a voice, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." He heard the audible voice of God. What does it mean, the audible voice of God? He heard the physical voice of Jesus speak into his physical ears. He heard with his own ears, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And then he says, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Just like I'm speaking to you today, and you can hear me audibly, I think that Paul heard the voice of Jesus, the voice of God, audibly. And then it says in verse 6, "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." In verse 6, it would seem that Paul asked Jesus what? What's the understood question of Saul in verse 6 of Acts 9? Because Jesus said to him, "Now go up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." I bet Saul was asking Jesus, "Jesus, what are you wanting me to do with my life? What are you wanting me to do right now in the coming weeks and months?" And Jesus responds in verse 6, "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Basically, he was asking God, he was asking Jesus what he should do with his life, right? And Jesus responds, "Go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Through a series of events, we find out that God speaks to Saul, whose name was later turned to Paul, and he becomes an evangelist to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles, and he has an awesome ministry. He sets up many churches in Asia Minor. He leads many people into relationship with Jesus Christ. And this year, at the beginning of this year, friend, we need to be doing the same thing that Saul did. We need to be asking the same question Saul did in Acts 9, verse 6. Let me say it again. At the beginning of this new year, 2012, we need to be asking the same question Saul asked of Jesus in Acts chapter 9, verse 6. "Jesus, God, what are you wanting me to do with my life? God, what are you wanting me to do with my life this year in 2012? What are you wanting me to do at the start of this new year, God?" We need to be asking Him that. And God and His speaking, His voice to us, they need to be our number one priority for 2012. God and His voice speaking to us need to be our number one top priority for 2012. Right?
Right.
Say it with me today. God and His voice to me needs to be my top priority in 2012. All right. We may not hear God's voice audibly, physically, like Saul did in Acts chapter 9. But God still does speak. Say it again. We may not hear the voice of God audibly, the voice of Jesus audibly, like Saul did in Acts chapter 9. But God still speaks today to His followers.
Amen.
Jesus still speaks today to His disciples. And you know, there's many voices out there, friends, competing for your attention. There's going to be many voices in the coming days and weeks competing for your attention, competing for your spiritual ear. What kinds of voices? The voices of friends, the voices of relatives, the voices of the media, the news, the TV, movies, the voices of the books, the voice of newspapers, the voice of magazines. You know, there's some people out there that try to play God in your life. Anybody ever been there? I know I've been there. Where people come up to you and say, you know, God told me that you need to do this, this, and this. You know, it could be God and it may not be God. People trying to speak into your life. But we have to hear directly from God Himself for our lives. You know, sometimes our own minds try to be a voice to our spirits. Listen to that. Sometimes our own limited minds try to be a voice in our lives. And guess what? Our minds are finite. They're limited. They can only see so far ahead. We can't consult our own limited minds. We have got to consult the spirits of the living God. Is that making sense? If you end up listening to other voices, if you end up listening to your mind, guess what? You may end up doing only the good thing with your life this year instead of the God thing. How many here want to do the God thing with their life? The God thing for your life is the best thing that you can do with your life. In order to do the God thing instead of the good thing with your life, you need to be hearing the voice of Almighty God. Is that making sense?
Right.
If you end up doing what your mind says is the right thing to do, you're going to miss the best thing. You're going to miss the God thing. You know, you may know several women for the men here. You know, your mind might be telling you it'd be good for you to get in a relationship with Sally. But God is saying, no, I want you to get into a relationship with Jane. You see, your mind is always going to speak to you a limited thing, a good thing. But God is going to speak to you the best thing for your life. I'm going to give you a personal illustration here. I've been doing a lot of evangelistic work, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ in the country of India. In the late 90s and into 2000 and up until about 2005. A lot of evangelistic work in Southeast India, North India, and sharing the gospel in evangelistic meetings, small and large, and doing pastor seminars and training pastors to go out and preach the gospel to their people. So I was doing a lot of work in the country of India, which is a very spiritually needy country. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ. So in 2006, I tried to change it up a little bit. And I was like, you know, God, it was around March of 06. I was like, God, I want to do some more for you in other countries. And my mind started speaking to me. No, Jonathan, a good thing would be to go to an Asian nation, like maybe China, and do some evangelistic work out there. It was a good thing. My mind was speaking to me, so I ended up applying to this organization that another friend of mine is working with. Applied to this organization and got accepted, and I think it was like late June of 2006, I ended up going to for training, I think it was in California, and was assigned a group of probably 10 or 11, 18 to 21-year-olds to go with me to the school in Hong Kong to teach English. And so, you know, I did what was the good thing, and I kid you not, friend, it was the most difficult experience in my life. I got to the school in Hong Kong with my group of 18 to 21-year-olds, and I tell you, it was a tough experience. It felt like I was trudging through quicksand, through mud. It was so hard to move spiritually. I had no cooperation from my team. It was just a very difficult experience. Ended up leaving a little earlier from that country than expected. It was just one problem after another. And I got back to the United States. I started going through some depression. And after thinking about it, praying about it, I really sensed on the inside that I ended up doing a good thing going to Hong Kong and not really the God thing with my life. And why was that? And I sensed on the inside that the reason that was because I ended up consulting my mind, my limited mind, instead of the Spirit of God. I should have been asking what Saul was asking in Acts chapter 9, verse 6. God, what are you wanting me to do this year in 2006? And I really didn't do that. And instead of doing God's best for my life, I ended up doing a good thing. And the thing that my mind was telling me was good ended up being a very difficult thing. I ended up going to Hong Kong and trying to spread the gospel there and upsetting people and so forth and so on. Just a personal experience from me to you is that if your mind is telling you to do a certain thing, make sure you check it out with God and say, God, I think this is what I should be doing with my life this year. I think, God, this is some of the goals and the objectives I should set. But God, what are you wanting me to do in 2012? And let the Spirit of God speak to you instead of other voices. Is that making sense? Because if you go with other voices, if you go with your mind, you're going to end up messing up. You'll end up doing an average thing or just a good thing instead of the God thing. Now, the question is this. How does God speak to us today, modern day? How does God speak to us in 2012? Anybody here have any ideas of how God speaks today? He may not speak audibly where we can hear his voice physically, but you were going to say what?
Previously to what you were saying is a question that's in my head is that Satan putting that stuff in your head trying to make you not run things your own way, but instead of letting them you know, as verse 6 does?
And a lot of times the mind is the battlefield. And that's where Satan tries to play tricks with you, is in the mind. He tries to put fear in your mind. He tries to speak to you things in your mind that are not really of God. You got to go with your spirit. So that brings us to the first point. How does God speak to us today? By the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
By the Holy Spirit of God. And in the Old Testament, where did the Spirit of God dwell? In the Old Testament temple, in the Holy of Holies. There's no longer any Old Testament temple, right? The new covenant temple is where today? It's us, believers in Jesus Christ, followers of Christ. We are the new covenant, New Testament temple of God. The Holy Spirit of God, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're a follower of Christ, the Spirit of God now dwells on the inside of you, in your heart, in your spirit. He once dwelt in the Old Testament temple, which was a physical structure. Today he dwells inside of believers in Jesus Christ. Is that making sense?
Amen.
Paul writes it in 1 Corinthians 3:16 that our bodies, that we are the temple of God. We are the temple of God. Yes, sir, real quick.
Can you
Yes, sir.
Where there's the new birth of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Where he coming into the name.
That's it.
This is a new birth.
Okay.
You got to believe with your heart and your mind.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. Now, I want to go to 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19. Elijah had many false prophets of Baal slaughtered. Jezebel was upset. He thought that Jezebel was after his life. So in 1 Kings 19, verse 8, he goes to Horeb, the mountain of God. He goes into a cave, hiding away from Jezebel. He spends the night. 1 Kings 19, verse 9. He went into the cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle, here's the key, after the fire, verse 12 of 1 Kings 19, after the fire, after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. There were several things going on here. There was a wind, there was an earthquake, there was a fire, but God's voice was not in any of those things, in any of those acts of nature. The voice of God came to Elijah, how? As a gentle whisper. So one of the primary ways that God will speak to you at the beginning of this year and for the rest of this year and for the rest of your life is with a still, small voice. This gentle whisper that Elijah heard back in the Old Testament is the same gentle whisper, the same still, small voice that God wants to speak to us with in the New Covenant. The gentle whisper of peace. Remember, we are now God's temple. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. And if you're asking God a question, God, what should I do this year? God, should I live in Tulsa or should I move to Dallas? And your mind is telling you, going to Dallas is a good thing. Go ahead, move to Dallas. There's more job opportunity there. And as you're thinking about in your mind going to Dallas, in your spirit you may have turmoil. Just like an uneasy feeling right here in your spirit where your heart is. That's the Spirit of God saying, no, I don't want you moving to Dallas. Even though it's a bigger city and there's more job opportunity, I want you staying in Tulsa. You see what I'm saying? God, should I get a technical degree this year? Maybe in welding? Or God, should I go to Bible school? No, good idea sounds like going to get a technical degree. And as you think about that with your mind and your spirit, you have this uneasiness. And God is saying, no, I don't want you to get a technical degree. I want you to go to Bible school. You see what I'm saying? But if you ask God, I've got several different people I could start a relationship with, women. I've got Sally, I've got Jane, and I'm going to go ahead and, God, can I go ahead and start dating Jane? And God is, if you get a peace on the inside, you feel good about it on the inside in your heart, that's God saying, yes, you can start that relationship with her. You see what I'm saying? So the still small voice of God comes in the form of peace. If you're asking God a question, God, should I move to Los Angeles, or God, should I move to Houston, and you got peace on the inside, God is saying, yes, I want you to make that move. God, should I get this technical degree in welding or in plumbing, and God is saying, yes, you'll have peace on the inside. Amen. But if you're asking God a question and you have no peace deep down on the inside, you have only turmoil, God is saying, no, don't take that path. Doesn't matter what your mind is telling you, listen to the Spirit of God deep down on the inside of your heart. Amen? Amen. So if you got that still small voice of peace on the inside, what is God saying? God is saying, yes, go down that path. If you ask God a question and you have no peace on the inside, God is saying what? No, don't do it. I went to ORU in 92. I started in August of 92, and I was living in New Jersey at the time with my family back in 92, and had applied to a number of different colleges on the East Coast. Probably, I guess it was about four different colleges. But I really had no peace deep down on the inside. I came home from school one day in January of 92, and my dad had been reading, flipping through a little booklet of Oral Roberts. And he took me down to his office, which was in the basement back in 92, and he said, "Jonathan, I've been praying. I've been reading this book by Oral Roberts, and as I was reading it and reading about the university in the back of the booklet, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said that Jonathan is to go to ORU starting in 92. As soon as he told me that, I had a peace on the inside that surpassed any human understanding. It was like God was saying, "Yes, I want you to go to Oral Roberts University. Not to the other colleges that you got accepted to, but I want you to go to ORU. So I called ORU up, I applied, and I was about 20 points short on my SAT of receiving an academic scholarship. And I called up the university and I said, "Can you still give me that academic scholarship even though I'm 20 points short?" They said, "No, we can't do it. But if you retake the test in April of 92 and you get the 20 points, we'll give you the scholarship." So lo and behold, I retook the SAT in April of 92, and I kid you not, I didn't receive any points less or any more. I received exactly the 20 points I needed to get the academic scholarship for 92-93. Isn't God good? That was God confirming it to me that I'm calling you to go to ORU. I graduated from there with 2 degrees. And had I not been obedient to the voice of God back then, I wouldn't have been here today preaching and teaching the Word of God to you guys. Is that making sense? So one of the ways that God speaks is how? Primarily, one of the ways He speaks is through in your what? In your heart, with a still small voice of peace. If God is saying yes, you'll have peace on the inside. If God is saying no, you won't have any peace deep down on the inside. And, you know, if you consult anything or anyone but God, you'll stir up God's wrath. I want to read you something I was studying today in 2 Kings. 2 Kings, verse chapter 1. This king, Ahaziah, says this. 2 Kings 1:1. After Ahab's death, Moab rebelled against Israel. Now Ahaziah had fallen through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria and injured himself. So he sent messengers saying to them, "Go and consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, to see if I will recover from this injury." But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Go up and meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and ask them, 'Is it because there is no god in Israel that you are going off to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron?' Therefore, this is what the Lord says, 'You will not leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die.'" So Elijah went. This king of Israel, right? This king, instead of consulting the Spirit of God, did what? He consulted a false god, Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron. And God says, because you consulted another voice, a false god, you will not leave the bed you're lying on. You will certainly die. And Elijah went. Isn't that something? And friends, I'm here to tell you today, if you consult any other voice but the voice of Almighty God, the voice of the Holy Spirit, you will stir up the wrath of God. Don't turn to friends. Don't turn to relatives. Don't turn to those who try to play God in your life. Don't turn to your own mind. Turn only to the voice of Almighty God. God, what are you wanting me to do at the start of this year and for the rest of the year? And God will speak to you with the still small voice of peace. You know, some people go to palm readers. You know, Baal-zebub could be equivalent to a palm reader or a fortune teller or an astrologer. And people go to those mediums to try to hear the voice, to try to get direction for their lives. And if you're going to those, like this king did, you're going to stir up God's anger. Okay, so number two, God speaks through His written word. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 105. It says this. Psalm 119, verse 105. The psalmist writes, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Are there dark areas in your life right now? Do you have confusion in your mind and in your spirit right now? Turn to the Word of Almighty God, the written Word of God. It will be a light to your what? Lamp to your feet and a light for your path. It will make clear and illuminated the dark areas in your life. Now, at midnight, this place is pitch dark, right? If the lights are off, you walk into this room, it's pitch dark. You might bump at the chairs. You may trip on the podium, so forth and so on. But as soon as you turn the switch on, the lights come on, the path, the aisle is illuminated. You're not going to trip. You're not going to fall. Is that making sense? That's what the Word of God is like. The Word of God is like these physical bulbs in this room. It makes your spiritual life clear. It clears up and illuminates and brings revelation to the dark areas in your life. And personally with me, and as I was setting my resolutions and goals for 2012, one of my New Year's resolutions was to walk daily in peace with my wife. To walk daily in peace with my wife. And that comes from Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of God, let's read it. Let the peace of God, Colossians 3:15, it comes straight from the Word of God. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. In other words, he's telling us, walk in peace with other people. And as I remembered the scripture from Colossians 3:15, I set one of my New Year's resolutions to walk in peace every day with my wife. Not in strife, but in peace. You see? So the Word of God wants to speak to so many different areas of your lives. Another way that God can speak to us is in dreams and visions. Dreams and visions from God. Not all dreams are from God. If a dream produces torment and fear on the inside of you, it's not from God. It's a nightmare. But there are certain dreams, and if you receive that dream 2-3 times, God is trying to say something. He's trying to speak. God can speak through dreams at times. And you can read, we don't have time to go through it today, but in Matthew chapter 2, you can read how God, through an angel, spoke to Joseph in a dream more than once. God spoke to Joseph, Mary's husband, in a dream more than one time. Matthew chapter 2. And sometimes God can speak through others in your lives. Not every time. But if there's a pastor that you respect, a minister, an evangelist, God can speak through that person. Amen. For your life. Unexpectedly. Amen? Amen. Back in 2006, as I told you, when I was going through depression in my life, I was wondering if God even loved me. I thought I had incited the wrath of God in my life. I thought that God didn't love me, so forth and so on. And I was sitting at a friend's house, probably the last quarter of 2006. And there was this lady there I was acquainted with that, out of nowhere, she was a pretty mean-spirited person, a believer in Christ, but kind of mean-spirited. But out of nowhere, she said that God just told me to tell you that Jesus loves you. And friends, that just made my day. God spoke to me through another person. And I'm here to tell you today that God occasionally can speak to you through a person in your life, be it a pastor, a minister, an evangelist, somebody you have some sort of a relationship with. Is that making sense today?
Yes.
All right, half of the puzzle is hearing the voice of God for your life. What is the other half of the puzzle? It's not enough just to hear it, but you've got to do it. You've got to obey what God is telling you to do. You got to believe and obey. God could be telling you to move to a certain city. He could be telling you to stay in Tulsa. He could be telling you to become a member of a certain church. He could be telling you to get involved with a certain ministry. He could be telling you to get a certain degree. He could be telling you to be involved in relationship with a certain person. But if you're not, you're hearing His voice on it, but if you're not doing what He's telling you to do, you're disobeying and you're not going to be blessed. So in other words, if you're asking God, you know, you're thinking, man, Dallas is a great idea to move to, man. It's big and there's lots of opportunity in Dallas. God is saying, no, stay in Tulsa. But you still get up and you move to Dallas. Guess what? You've heard the voice of God telling you to stay in Tulsa, but you move to Dallas. You're disobeying God. You're not going to be blessed. You see what I'm saying? You may end up in a worse position than you were in Tulsa. Is that making sense today? Finally, one last scripture, Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, verse, as we just close it off here today. Isaiah chapter 1, it says this, verse 19. If you're willing and obedient, it would say, if you're willing to hear the voice of God and obedient to the voice, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, in other words, if you disobey the voice of God, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I don't know what your land is today. It's finances, maybe. Your land might be healing in your body. It might be relationship. It might be overcoming an addiction. I don't know what your land is today. Maybe a job opportunity, an educational opportunity. Whatever your land is, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the best from your lands. Amen. If you're willing to hear the voice of God and you hear God's voice and you knew that you heard God's voice and you obey, you act upon what God told you to do, you will be blessed, you will prosper, you will eat from the best of the land in your life. But if you resist and rebel, you disobey what God is telling you to do, you will incite His wrath in your life. I don't want to incite His wrath in my life. How about you?
That's right.
I want to be blessed. I want to be prosperous. I want to do what God is telling me to do. Amen?